You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I have to be careful about politics because of the hijack police that are waiting outside in the bushes somewhere. I'm like going to get I'm going to get emotional about this issue because it's horrible. But you know, it's like kids who are bullied, and it's like all these leaders are taking steps to hurt them and hurt their lives.
My God, I just almost want to break into tears listening to that. Don't you? That's Jen Psaki, currently White House spokeswoman, doing her bit, her part, her acting job for her next J-O-B, which will be working for one of the state-controlled media operations. That was Jen Psaki on a podcast. I thought, I'm going to let you hear it in its entirety, because yesterday I kind of fooled around with it, kind of mocked her a little bit. Well, I don't need to mock her. You can do it yourself. You see and hear what the woman is saying, and she's responding to, of course, the Florida law that got passed that everybody on the left wants to criticize and say is don't say gay. Don't say gay bill. The word gay does not even appear in the bill. The Florida law, simply signed by Governor DeSantis, simply says you cannot teach certain material to children in certain grades. And then for future grades, they must be involving parental permission. That's all it amounts to. Do you not think you have a right to know what's being taught your kids? And if there's anything questionable, you want to know about it? I've got a story coming up later about a troupe of players, a theater production that they conceive is perfect for getting children to understand gender and our life and our environment. It involves nudity. It involves a man dressed in a rainbow gorilla suit with a large penis hanging from him. This is suitable for kids. Jen Psaki is taking the line she's going to need and will use and will abuse and will echo at the state-controlled media job starting this next month, whenever she moves over. As you heard her say, I got to be careful because I know there are a lot of folks out there watching for the Hatch Act that maybe I'm using my position to further my particular politics. Well, of course you are, and we all know it. We're going to get into that in more detail. And then there's a lot of confusion over the mask policy. Biden is saying, well, I guess you guys should do what you want to. This is after a federal judge ruled the CDC had exceeded its authority by having the TSA mandate you wear a mask on a plane, especially when the CEOs of the airline said, our cabins are constantly being recirculated with fresh air. You're safer on one of our planes than anywhere else. You don't need a mask. And then you've got some who are crying this ruling by the judge is racist. We're going to be joined later by Doug Badger with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on constitutional law and health issues. We're going to get into that with him. Oh, and by the way, Chicago apparently is deciding, yeah, we're going to still enforce it. Now, you get on the plane, you can probably take it off. But if you're going to be at Chicago O'Hare Airport going to the plane or deplaning, you must have a mask on. When is this lunacy going to stop? Same time, the government is deciding to lift Title 42 so we can allow illegals into the communities without being tested for COVID, not masked. So either we have a problem with COVID still, or we don't. And the issue is we don't, but they're going to make it as a political argument. And it could be a costly political argument coming up, because we're going to look at how many on the left are already saying we are facing a very desperate situation. And speaking about desperation, the city of Chicago and its crime rate continues to accelerate. Mayor Lori Lightfoot gets pinned down by a reporter. He will not simply accept a casual, we're okay, it's getting better. You're going to love this. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played a silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Mayor Lightfoot, every time I ask you about crime in Chicago, you say crime is down. Real Chicagoans know that that's not true, that crime is up. Violent sexual assault, it's on the news every day, up. Violent carjackings every day, up. Hit and run, 100 day hit and run of Chicagoans.
Do you have a question, sir?
Yes. The obvious question that I've been asked by real Chicagoans to ask you is, are you lying or are you incompetent?
I doubt very much that that's a question you've been asked by anyone.
That's a real question from real Chicago.
So I'm going to try
actually,
to treat you.
The exact wording,
sir,
I'm trying to clean it up.
Sir, I'm going to answer the question.
And then I have a follow-up.
The data speaks for itself.
The data speaks for itself. Now, the reporter said these are real Chicagoans, real questions. And I'm trying to clean up the way they asked it. But are you lying or are you incompetent? Well, she didn't like that at all, did she? The data backs it up. I'm looking at, there are a lot of different ways you can look at this. Chi-Town did not make the Neighborhood Scouts 2022 Top 100 Most Dangerous Cities list, according to the New York Times. It's seventh in the nation when it comes to murder rates, edged out by cities like St. Louis, New Orleans, Baltimore. And this report that's been compiled says your odds of being the victim of a violent crime in Chicago are 1 in 103. That is double the average chances that you'd be a crime anywhere else in the state of Illinois. But it also adds, it's important to keep in mind that Chicago doesn't automatically put you in increased danger. Factors like socioeconomic status, neighborhood, relationships can all influence your risk of violence. That's physical violence. So let's go back. The data, by the way, that we're looking at here that I have in front of me, aggravated robbery, 6,883, robbery at 5,964. I'm pulling up some other sort. I want to make sure these are facts are being brought by R.E. Fulton, writing for something called Jerry. And it says in trying to, it's really looking at something for a benefit of, I think, car insurance rates primarily. But murder, 696 so far this year. 696 murder cases. 1,432 cases of sexual assault. So, again, when the mayor says, look at the data, I'm looking at the data.
The data speaks for itself.
The data.
And on all of the measures that you've just talked about, homicide, shootings, carjackings, down this year, sir. Sorry to disappoint you, but that is the
78% increase in carjackings, violent carjackings in downtown
Chicago. No, you are, sir, carjackings in our city
Millennium
are
Park.
Down. God.
Okay.
You're one of the rudest people I've ever seen. You really are.
I am?
Yeah, you are, sir.
Okay.
You are,
I would think that carjackers would be the rudest people.
Well, no, you're rude in this room.
Okay.
Because you want to give a speech and pontificate, but you don't actually want to listen to the facts. And the facts are, while nobody's taking a victory lap, while we have a lot more work to do, the fact of the matter is carjackings are down, shootings are down, and homicides are down.
All right, again, that's her answer to the reporter. I'm going to try to give you some balance on this because I want you to make sure you see both sides of the picture. Most folks I know from Chicago area, they say it's dangerous as hell. Well, there are a lot of folks in St. Louis who might say the same thing, or anywhere else. Generally, we have seen an increase in crimes of all types in all blue cities and blue states. But let's put some balance in it. There's a publication by Salon, which is a liberal publication, that said the homicide rate is increasing rapidly. This is just today. This is just coming out today. Increasing rapidly in the U.S., so much so that President Biden has made tackling the problem a priority. And then he did speak in the State of the Union address about his plans to reduce violence. But alarmingly, homicide rates have risen an average of 17% in 50 of the most populated U.S. cities between the quarter of 2020, first quarter, and first quarter of 2022, and still rising. Now, again, the findings based on this publication are saying that the city with the highest overall rank, and again, this is going to be based upon population, would be New Orleans. If you go by this stat that I've got here in front of me, I'm looking all the way down, and I find, well, right behind New Orleans is Cincy, then Atlanta, Baltimore, Memphis, Milwaukee, Norfolk, Virginia. I'm going on down through here, and I don't see Chicago, unless I'm overlooking it, in the top 50. But I think the problem that they're facing in Chicago is they have shootings every weekend. They may or may not have a murder, but every weekend, as you look at a Monday, the stats are alarming. Still more and more shootings. A lot of it's gang-related. The numbers that are trying to show that crime rates might be better in Chicago are really coming up with helping insurance companies decide what is their risk for insuring your property. Now, the same article points out that political corruption and widespread poverty contribute to Chicago's high crime rates. but again insisting it's actually safer than 9% of U.S. cities. So you can't just dismiss Lightfoot's denouncement of the reporter. But what I find interesting is when I look at some of the comments that were coming in from Chicago citizens watching this public news conference she was giving, almost every one of them called her out for being a liar or misleading or not stating full facts or trying to twist it. So if the perception by some is that Chicago is dangerous and the other part of the perception is that the mayor is lying, the public's caught in the middle. Who do you believe? And make no mistake about it, we're going to spend some time on it in the second hour. Crime rates are skyrocketing, whether or not you focus on Chicago. Now, you're going to see a lot of reports that are out there that keep saying, well, the crime rates in red states are higher than in blue states and in red cities. So, again, the new data, according to Salon, crime is up, but points out that the higher murder rates are in the red states. See, they want to make it clear to you that Republicans, conservatives, and partly because of less gun restrictions allowing you to have your Second Amendment, are contributing to the murder rate. Well, Chicago is one of the cities that has one of the highest gun control law restrictions in the nation. Of course, they say, well, they're not being bought in our city. They're being bought elsewhere and brought in. But when you look at the shooters that are involved, you're going to find most of them in a law-abiding state and following the laws we have on the books. They would not have been able to purchase a gun anyway. They had to go to the black market. They had to go steal it. They bought it off of someone else. They're convicted felons. They're not allowed to have a weapon of any type. And they continue to carry out crimes. Well, Lightfoot, of course, back to her news conference, still trying to battle this reporter.
Do you have another question to follow up, sir?
I do indeed. The reason why workers do not want to return to the downtown offices, the reason why tourism is obviously flatlined, is because people are afraid of the violent crime, especially in downtown Chicago, River North, Streeterville, Millennium Park, Grant Park. We have every single day violent carjackings. Gun to the head.
Sir,
gun to the head, violent.
Please, I'm going to ask you, I've been very patient with you. You come in here and you give a speech every single time. Just ask your question. Be a real journalist. Ask your question.
A very disturbing development with the violent carjackings is they are primarily being carried out by teenagers. And when I say teenagers, I mean 14, 15, 16-year-old
I'm aware
children.
Of the data, sir.
What is the reason for this, and what is your plan at long last to solve this problem?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. We are actually seeing an increase in the number of people that are coming back downtown. It's certainly an increase over last year and month over month. And part of the reason that we've heard from employers as to why they still haven't brought back all their employees is because of first the Delta, which we were experiencing in the fall, and then Omicron, which we were experiencing at the end of the year and the beginning of this year. Our expectations, based upon our regular conversations with employers and building owners, is that we're going to start to see more and more people come back downtown. So
I'm not going to try to, again, fight or contend that her answer is wrong, but it is a fact that many are leaving the central cores of blue cities and states because of not just the crime rate, but the prosecution. You've got so many district attorneys put in place by George Soros and his group that are going to go light on criminals and even lighter if they are young people just because, well, second, third, fourth, fifth chance, maybe they'll learn their lesson. But somewhere along the line, with that kind of attitude, folks don't learn a lesson except that, We need to schedule a funeral. These shootings we had over this last weekend at various locations across the nation emphasize again, too many young people now are resorting to where they might have had a fist fight before are now pulling out weapons in the middle of a shopping mall, not caring who might be in the range or might be struck. If police officers were really that indiscriminate in their shooting, they would be fired and they would be facing a lot more charges. And yes, there are times police officers did not make the best judgment on their shooting in a crowded situation. But you had to take them case by case. Lightfoot did acknowledge this reporter is right about how teenagers are being handled.
Yes, you are right on one point, which is that a number of people that are involved in our carjackings are juveniles. We're arresting people who are juveniles that have 3, 4, 5, 6 pending cases. The answer there is we've got to get the courts, frankly, to take this seriously. I don't agree that we lock up juveniles and throw away the key, but what we must do is not just do nothing, which is what, unfortunately, what's happening right now.
And you're the mayor of Chicago. Now, that part she's going to acknowledge. So you can argue your crime stats all you want. It is an attitude toward crime that has to be corrected. And too many on the far left are all about, we don't need penalties of any type. We don't need prisons. We can open the jail door, no bail, low bail, let them back out. If you didn't have a crime problem, you're going to have one. Coming up, let's start going back in again about this decision by a federal judge saying you do not have to wear a mask on a plane. You'll hear a pilot announce it and listen to the passengers.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
April 18th, the Biden administration announced that the Transportation Security Administration will no longer enforce the federal mandate requiring masks in all U.S. airports and onboard aircraft.
Well, everybody was happy. That was a pilot the other day announcing that the federal judge had decided the TSA had overstepped its bounds when it comes to requiring you have to wear a mask when you're on an airplane. Or any mass transit. If you think that's the end of the argument, don't hold your breath. You might better put the mask back. You might be forced to. The judge from Middle District, Florida, said basically the statutory authority of the Centers for Disease Control exceeded its authority. So the transportation mandate, which has been among the most high-profile mask mandates, is stripped. But I just told you in the opening monologue, in Chicago, at O'Hare Airport, you come in, you're still going to have to wear a mask. Now, when you get on the plane, you may take it off. But, of course, the leftists are all a Twitter to that extent. Not saying that for Elon Musk's effort or abilities, but they're all excited and angry because of what happened. Listen to how Rachel Maddow approached this decision with a doctor she had on as a guest.
People may be watching you right now with your experience as a specialist in this field, as a practicing physician in New York. Is it a good idea to wear a mask on the train, on the subway, on an airplane, even if I'm no longer required? But also, what's your view on this challenge to the CDC's authority to put a rule like this in place at all?
Both those are incredibly important questions. And I will add that not only as a provider, but as a parent of a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, who 3 days ago took a flight to visit family and has to fly back home to New York City in a few days under these new rules, it does give me some trepidation.
Trepidation. Well, the question is legitimate to be asked of someone. I'm going to be asking it of my guest coming up in the next segment. But, of course, it's also an opportunity if you have a state-controlled media operation to go ahead and go forward with putting the onus on conservatives, independents, and saying that you're wrong. And, again, here's the doctor on the legal decision.
What you saw here was not a public health decision. You had a legal decision that overrode the decisions of a public health authority in the middle of a pandemic. And I'm not just worried about what that means right now, today, for flights in the next few days and for the uptick in cases. I'm worried about what that means for the future when we respond to pandemics, when we have further pathogens that threaten us here in the U.S. We've already had dozens of states implement measures to limit public health authority. Now you have a single judge in one state who has overrode a decision by the central public health decision-making authority. And I think that sets a bad precedent, and I'm glad to see the administration challenging that.
The administration is challenging it. But Joe Biden has also said, when he was asked about it, well, I think you should decide. President Biden on Air Force One, still wearing a mask. There are folks that if they could have their way, we will forever be living in a bubble. You won't be going outside your home without a full oxygen mask and tank strapped on to you and your children. Now, you think that sounds that far-fetched? And again, I say you do what you need to do for you and your family. And that same thing comes down to masks or vaccines. The problem and where people have had a difficulty is that too many times all of this has been covered up as saying it's science and follow the science when they're talking about political science and all the money that can be made by more booster shots, which they are working on and are ready to start. Then we're going to see how many are going to be forced to take another booster shot. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'll be joined by Doug Badger of the Heritage Foundation. He's an expert in public policy, more than 30 years. I want to get his take on all of this and where we're going from here. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Doug Badger, 30 years as including a policy advisor of the White House, the U.S. Senate, the Department of Health, Human Services. Doug, you've watched this mask mandate battle go back and forth. And then the ruling from the Florida judge the other day saying the TSA has and the CDC overstepped the boundaries of the law by requiring passengers to wear masks. What was your first reaction?
Well, my first reaction was that to start texting with United Airlines customer service because we were planning to fly back from Denver the next day, just to make sure that what I had read was really true.
What answer did you get back, or did you?
The answer is you don't have to wear a mask, and I'm happy to report that in the Denver airport yesterday and on our flight back home to Florida, I'd say fewer than 10% of people were wearing masks. I've never seen a more overwhelming popular reaction to a court case within 24 hours.
Are you aware Absolutely. That if you've gone through Chicago, Chicago O'Hare says it's still requiring you to wear a mask while you're in the terminal?
Well, you know, that's up to the authorities that control the Chicago O'Hare Airport, but the federal government can no longer require them or Uber drivers or anyone else engaged in public transportation to have masks.
Well, help me understand this, because therein lies part of the rub. The TSA is federal, and they're not going to let you go through a boarding line, a boarding check, to get even on the plane. Now, once you're on the plane, you can take the mask off, but how's that stand?
Well, actually, no. The TSA is actually following the CDC guidelines. CDC was claiming to have this authority to impose mask mandates on all forms of transportation based on a 75-year-old statute that has absolutely nothing to do with mask wear. And the judge pointed that out. By the way, this is the same statute that CDC used last year to justify its eviction moratorium. And, of course, the Supreme Court threw that out, too. So CDC has no authority to do it. TSA is following CDC's guidelines, and they announced TSA announced shortly after the ruling that they were not going to enforce this. So we went through the security lines at the airport and so forth without a mask, and United Airlines and other major carriers also don't require masks now on their planes.
So your question was right to find out right away, what do we do once we get there? President of the Association of Flight Attendants Union, representing nearly 50,000 flight attendants, 17 airlines, said there are many legal uncertainties still in place. And her statement said, we need calm and consistency in the airports and on planes. The last thing we need for workers on the front lines are passengers, confusion and chaos. It sounds to me like we still have it.
Well, I don't think so. I will say that our flight attendant, as we boarded, was not wearing a mask, and she said to all of us, it's so great to see people's faces.
Yeah.
Not sure she meant it in my case, but you know, it was nice of her to say.
Right.
There's no real confusion and no chaos. The CDC acted unlawfully. The judge threw out the CDC rule. The administration is complying with that rule. The Transportation Safety Administration is not enforcing it. And I will also say on our Uber drive home, our Uber driver didn't have a mask, and they were told, because they were also subject to this mandate, that they no longer were requiring drivers or passengers to wear them.
Now, on the other side, of course, they are making it clear you have the option. And if you decide you want to, it's just like that's your personal choice, much like getting the vaccine.
That's absolutely right. Look, if you believe that masks protect you and keep you safe, you have every right to wear a mask anywhere you want. What the government lacks is the authority to impose a mask mandate and require you or me or anyone else to wear masks on an airplane or a bus or a train. They just don't have that authority. Now, look, Congress could amend the statutes and actually confer that authority on the CDC, but I will bet against that. They have never done that before, and I don't expect that they would do it now.
Well, there's a March survey by the health group KFF that found Americans roughly divided on whether the government should extend the mask requirement for planes, trains, so forth. 48% or let it expire, 53%. More than 7 in 10 Democrats said it should be extended, 76% Republicans saying it should expire. And my other point to the audience is, so you don't want to wear a mask, that's fine, but don't be mocking someone who is wearing, nor should, because you are not wearing it, should you be mocked and chastised.
That's right. I mean, this is really a personal choice. people process risk and understand risk in very different ways. The only thing I would say about the survey saying that America is divided is based on my very unscientific experience in the Denver airport yesterday and on board a flight. There must be an awful lot of Republicans and Trump supporters out there because almost nobody had a mask on.
I do think that, you know, maybe in the beginning it was probably a good idea because we were uncertain and unsure. But at some point when we were told repeatedly, follow the science, and if you recall, if you're going to follow the science from the very beginning, Dr. Fake, I apologize, Dr. Fauci said, you don't need a mask, it won't do any good anyway. And then later, yeah, you do need a mask. You get vaccinated, you won't need the mask. Okay, you get vaccinated, you're going to need a mask. You might need two masks. You might need a booster. You might not need a fourth booster. So the folks are trying to decide, are we talking about medical science or political science?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the downside of all this, of the fact that as soon as the judge threw out the mask mandate, people threw away their masks. The downside of it is it shows that the public health authorities have really lost the trust of the American people. And that is, I know you have survey data, but I'm looking at personal experience, but it seems to be much more widespread and not a straight-up partisan divide. And that's a shame because these guys, you know, when they do tell us something that really is for our own good, we may continue to disbelieve them.
Because we think they've cried wolf too many times. It's that simple.
It really is. You know, in this case, again, they exceeded their legal authority and became, instead of people administering the law, they made themselves into people who make the law. And once again, they got called out on it. We saw it with the CDC eviction moratorium. We saw it with the OSHA vaccine mandate. Now we see it with this mask mandate. So number one, they're trying to make law, and they're not allowed to do that. And number two, they're giving advice that isn't sound, and people are smart enough at a certain point to figure that out.
The other point that was made as soon as the announcement came out of the Florida court, the White House press secretary, soon to be with state-controlled media, she's already got a job primed. We all know that. This is obviously a disappointing situation, and the Justice Department will make any determination about litigation. In other words, they're already saying, how do we fight against it? Which, at the same time, Title 42 is going to be dropped by the administration, and CDC just happens to coincide with the date that Biden administration is going to do it. So either we have a COVID issue still, and Title 42 should prevent anyone coming into the country without a mask or with a mask, or we don't need to have them at all. Which is it?
Yeah, that's right. And Larry, I'll be honest, I don't think they're going to appeal this. What the Justice Department said yesterday is, well, look, this was only going to be in effect until May 3rd, so we're not going to appeal it.
Yeah,
however,
I didn't think so.
If CDC decides they want to extend it beyond May 3rd, then we're going to appeal it. My guess, Larry, they're not going to extend it.
Very quickly, in 15 seconds, what do you say to those who say it's racist to say you don't need the mask?
Well, I would say it's a matter of personal choice, and it's something that, regardless of your race or sexual orientation or anything else, is a choice you should be making for yourself. The government should not make it for you.
Thank you, Doug Badger of the Heritage Foundation. And Doug, on that point is where we're going to pick up for my listeners on the next segment. There are those who are claiming that lifting the mask mandate is racist. Explaining? Maybe, coming up. Hey, let's do lunch at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles. That's right, Cafe Napoli 3, now open for lunch and Sunday brunch. So let's plan lunch or Sunday brunch at Cafe Napoli in St. Charles. Of course, you always get great food and service at each Napoli location. Clayton, Town and Country, St. Charles. But let me remind you again, for lunch or Sunday brunch, Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A pandemic in which racial disparities across vectors like unemployment and housing and debt and food insufficiency and mental health have revealed a very adverse and acute effect on specific communities. So this decision from the DOJ, and more importantly, the underlying decision from Judge Mizell, that decision is just reckless. It's reckless as a general matter, and it has real-world impacts, racial impacts, that are preventable and avoidable.
You might have asked, how do you possibly make an issue about a mask being an issue that maybe, give me a second, I've got an open line here. I'll have to get out of there. There we go. We'll get rid of it. Yeah, it's, I tell you what it is. It's our live stream popping up suddenly on my camera, or rather on my phone. We do live stream at rumble.com. It is up and operating if you've been watching or trying to. Rumble.com, and you simply go to that and enter one word, Larry Connors USA. And at that point, then it will take you to the live studio, and you're here with us. Now, you might ask, as I said, how do you come up with taking a mask off racist? Let's break down what the woman had to say. This is Janae Nelson. She's the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. So if she's in with the NAACP, she's probably going to find anything she can and make it a racist claim. And the guest anchor was perfect in asking a question that would set that up. And she's urging that the DOJ would reconsider the decision and let the CDC make the decision. Well, as you heard Doug Badger say a moment ago, the mask mandate for the planes was probably going to expire within 2 weeks or less anyway. But when you have an opportunity, this goes back to Ron Emanuel when he ran with the Help Run the Campaign in the White House with Obama, never let a crisis go to waste. If we can do something with it, let's make it happen. And that's what this woman is doing. She's saying, so this decision, this underlying decision, is reckless in a general manner, has real world impacts, racial impacts that are preventable and avoidable. What's that have to do with your race if you are or are not wearing a mask? Well, her point being is that the pandemic, in her words, deaths among Black and Latinos is higher than their share of the population. I haven't checked the stats on that. Let's just say she's right. Let's just accept it. Well, keep in mind that in the beginning, some of those most defiant about getting vaccines were the Black populace because they feared that they were going to be used as an experiment of some type, as they had been in the past, and that's a nasty, decadent past where Black Americans were used in that fashion. And Latinos just coming in, they probably feared the same thing. So when it came down to racially, which group was going to be more willing to accept a vaccine, whites were more willing to accept. Not all of them. And not all Blacks were willing to say no. But they had a hard time selling it. They had a very hard time selling it. But when saying now that if they ended up getting it, it's because, what, you couldn't convince them to get the vaccine? And you may not still be able to. And the push is still underway to get people vaccinated. Folks still being, there's a story I have about a military, an Air Force lieutenant, maybe lieutenant colonel, I don't remember the rank, facing basically court-martial because he still will not get the vaccine. And yet we still continue to hear stories of folks who have difficulties and problems with them. That doesn't mean it would happen to everyone. But if you don't know and you're not sure and it's your body and or your children, that should be your decision, not the government. So if Chicago O'Hare wants to, again, not enforce the decision that you don't have to wear it, in fact, if they're going to enforce you to have to wear a mask while in the airport, I guess you would say that Chicago is okay when it came to racial issues at the O'Hare Airport. But what would be her response to any black American, regardless of their political stripe, that for their own decision-making process decided, I don't wear a mask anymore. I'm tired of it. I've watched, I don't know how many, sometimes get off these mass transit buses, and they all got the mask on, but they're not really wearing them. They're down below their nose, or they're just covering their nose. They're not using them properly anyway, and they're probably using the same one over and over again, mishandling it. It gets back to the whole thing from the beginning that unless you're wearing a full N95, it's probably not going to be effective. And you try living in an N95 mask for a few days, for hours on end, and see how that goes for you. You definitely will have a health issue, more than likely. Coming up, the Democrats are acknowledging more and more we don't stand a chance next time around. Especially because of what Joe Biden just apparently recently told Obama. We'll get into that and the fight against attacks on our children.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.